Questions are all around us.
Learn.
Why is liquid cold?
Learn.
What is maths?
Learn.
Why does this, ow, hurt?
Learn.
What is the Enlightenment?
I don't know.
And now, thanks to the University of Auckland, it's time to ready, steady, learn.
That's right. Thanks to the University of Auckland, we're joined by Sue Ira. Is that the one? Yes, Ira. And we're going to be chatting dirt. Yes. So your study, tell us a bit about how you got into your study and what you do.
So I'm a stormwater scientist and I specialise in water-sensitive design, which is really all about how we can use nature in our urban environments to reduce effects of stormwater discharges. And so I like to take that a little bit wider. If we're going to be using nature for stormwater management, then surely that has a lot of other wider benefits. And so my research at the university is around understanding the other benefits that we get from nature. So how it affects our health and our mental well-being, how it can reduce the urban heat island effect, how it can sequester carbon, and most importantly, how the dirt, the earth underneath our feet, can actually help with sustaining large trees and mitigating stormwater effects.
Yeah, totally. I think we're all too familiar here in Auckland with the effects of poor stormwater management.
Yes.
And so what do you propose Auckland does as a city to kind of make it better?
Well, I think Auckland is doing a good job, and we all have to realise that when we get really intense rainfall like we had in the Auckland anniversary floods, we're going to get flooding. Mm-hmm. But there are things that we can still do. One of the most important things is people focus on putting in wetlands or putting in rain gardens or swales to try and hold up that stormwater. But actually, if we thought a bit more carefully about the way we earthworked our land and looked beneath our feet, then what we could realize is that the soils beneath our feet, they're a living ecosystem with microbes and worms supporting vegetation. But when we're earthworking our city, we compact literally the life out of it. And so if we can really start to earthwork in different ways or protect some of our natural soils, then we can use that for our stormwater management purposes. And I think one of the big things I've learned recently is that unless our soils are healthy, our cities can't support large vegetation like trees and shrubs. And so what we tend to see is we see areas where we have a lot of goals for planting trees, but those trees are just not growing, they're not thriving. And so that's because of the soils, that's not because of anything else that's been done during that planting process.
Wow, that's fascinating. So potentially people are going forwards and being like, I'm going to plant 100 trees, and it's effectively pointless because the soil hasn't been cared for.
Exactly right, yes. Oh. And so what we need to do is we need to just make our green spaces work a little bit harder for us, because we're losing them through intensification and through development. And so what we could do is we can go back and we can mechanically rip some soil to ameliorate it, to make it better, to let the water flow and to be able to support larger vegetation.
Oh, cool. So you were talking about the impact of kind of subdivision and earthworks and things. Does that compact the soil so tightly that it's kind of more like concrete than...
Exactly right.
Soil.
If you think of subsoils and soils, it has a lot of pores and air in it. And when you put a big roller, like a heavy roller or compactor over it, it literally just takes all that air out of that soil. And so the soil loses its ability to hold water, to hold air, and to sustain life.
Oh my gosh, it's worse than I thought.
It's not all that bad.
Okay.
There's lots of things we can do. And the soils do still work well during smaller storm events. So if we have small rainfalls, they still do have the ability to absorb some water, but we need them to be working harder for us.
Right. So do you propose that your work would be really useful to places like Auckland Council, for example, who are making decisions about planting?
Absolutely. So it would be one of the recommendations that we've made through the study is that there should be policies in place and plans in place that actually help to put requirements in for tree planting. So what types of soils you can plant your trees in, how should that soil be decompacted before you plant, and put all those sorts of guidelines in place so that when council is doing all the planting for the urban Nahiri, we're getting the best value for that money and that tree that's being built. And certainly that's something that council are starting to work hard on now.
Oh, excellent. It's good to hear they're in action.
Absolutely.
What advice do you have to people who, say, have got a garden out back and they want to make a bit of a healthier ecosystem?
So there are many different things you can do. If you have a garden like I do, which is all compacted clay and not very nice, then what you can do is you can actually build above that garden. So I've got a lot of built-up raised beds that I've planted trees in. So creating mounds in the garden, that really helps. And then as that vegetation gets bigger, the roots go down and they're able to start to decompact the soils. The other thing you can do if you're really industrious and strong, which I'm not, is you can get like a mechanical plow and just rip up that soil and then create like a nice area or bed. And look, native plants are always best, but some of us do also love a little bit of colour and other things. Mm-hmm. But the native plants tend to really work quite well in some of those clay type of soils that we have here in Auckland.
Yeah, I've got clay in the back lawn. It's no bueno. That's really fascinating. That ploughing sounds like hard work.
Yes.
But worthwhile when you're thinking about the long-term impacts. It's crazy what an impact that has on flooding and everything.
Absolutely. I think that we don't, the big issue is that we don't value our soils in the urban areas. We see them as something to build on. And so I suppose until we can start to change that mindset and get people to realize that actually the soils and urban areas are playing a really valuable role, both in terms of climate well-being and our own well-being, we're not really going to get much change occurring in a widespread way.
Yeah, and you've mentioned sponge cities here, which seems to be like a little bit of a buzzword since the floods, you know. Yes. How can Auckland work towards being a bit more of a sponge city?
So I think you're right, it is a buzzword, and sponge cities have been around for a little while, and really what it's all about is it's trying to harness that original potential of our soils to have that sponginess. If you think of a sponge that absorbs the water, that's what we want from our soils. But it's also about using other types of nature-based solutions. As I mentioned at the start, things like rain gardens and wetlands, swales, and of course trees themselves are really valuable. They act like sponges absorbing water, taking it up for their own growth. So anything that has nature in it works really well.
Excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Sue. I've learnt so much about soil and trees.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me on the show.
No worries. That was Ready, Steady, Learn for this week. Thanks to the University of Auckland. Everyone get out there and think about the dirt more.
That was Ready, Steady, Learn. Thanks to the University of Auckland, the best university.